Father, we thank you for worship this morning. And Lord, how heaven came down and glory filled the earth. And now 2,000 years later, heaven keeps coming down and filling the souls of people. Souls of men and women, sons and daughters, moms and dads, husbands and wives, families, Lord. The glory of God has come to us. You've come to us. And as we began speaking last week of just the greatness of that first Advent, that first Christmas, that first moment that you entered into this world, Lord, I want to thank you that here, 2,000 and something years later, you continue to invade people's lives. You are the light that invades the darkness. You're the peace that enters into our chaos. And Lord, I want to thank you just as the darkness does not overcome the light, Jesus, neither does chaos overcome the Prince of Peace. And Lord, I know we live in chaotic days and we sometimes live chaotic lives. And I just want to ask, Lord, in Jesus' name, I want to beseech the Lord, our God, to visit us, Prince of Peace, Light of the World, in a new, fresh way. I want to thank you, Father, for this word. I ask that as we open it, that it come to life to us, and that, Father, that we'd be changed by it. And yes, Lord, it is familiar. It is a familiar story. It's a 2,000-year-old story that those of us who've walked with you hear it year after year, and sometimes a couple of other times a year. It never grows old, and it is always fresh. And I pray, God, that you'd speak to us a fresh word, and I ask this in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we're in Luke chapter 1, and I had the opportunity to start this message, and I've renamed it, if I were to call it something, especially this series, Christmas, I would rename it Headlines of Christmas. This is headline news. I mean, when you think about angels appearing, you want to talk about a headliner. I mean, these are news noteworthy things that are taking place in the first century, okay? Before they knew it was the first century, okay? And so when I think about that and think about headlines and papers and headlines on magazines, and there are tons of them, and they're interesting. You can go on and Google them. I Googled them last week and shared some of those with you. But I just want to say this again, emphasize this again, that just 2,000 years ago, how Christ made headlines, especially when the Magi came, 2,000 years later, he wants to make headlines in your life. And the same principles that took place first Christmas are the same principles that you and I can look at, believe, speak, and walk in. And we began last week with this story of Zacharias and Elizabeth. And if it could, there could be a headline, and the whole thought was there's just many headlines to the story. And the first one we looked at last week is a barren couple, godly couple declared righteous by the living God. That's news. Because we live in a world, and we've lived in a world, and history has lived in a world where we think we have to earn our way to our God. That's when you look at all the religions of this world and you look at all the things that people believed, even in Old Testament when they moved into the promised land, it was all about earning the favor of God or their God or whoever that God was. In Athens, Paul was preaching one day, and the Bible says that before he spoke, his spirit was moved by the city of idols because they had all these idols to all these gods, and there even was an idol to the unknown God, the one we don't know about yet, or the one we've not heard about yet. And all these gods, all the gods of this world that aren't really gods, they cry out that you must earn righteousness. You must earn heaven or earn the next life. But our God says there's no earning in it. And you have this with this one statement in Luke chapter 1 When he says in verse 5, in the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was this priest, his name was Zacharias, of the division of Abihai. And he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Now watch, they were both righteous in the sight of God. And they walked blamelessly in all the commandments and the requirements of the Lord. And we spoke last week that God declares men and women of faith righteous. It's the only way to accomplish or to move into the thought that I'm righteous in God's sight. This couple was not righteous just because they did righteous things. No, they were righteous because they believed the promises of God. They were believers. In the Old Testament, you have Abraham, who was declared righteous by his faith. And then you had Noah, that the Bible says was righteous and blameless in his time. And then you have Job, or the scripture says, God said, look at this upright man. And what I suggest to you is this, even in the Old Testament, before the Lord Jesus Christ, the only way to righteousness, the only way to relationship with God is to believe him. Is to believe him. And this godly couple is declared righteous by the living God. And my suggestion last week was, it's because they were believers. Now, if you move on, the Bible says, verse 7, but they had no child because Elizabeth was barren and they were both advanced in years. Now, it happened that while he was performing his priestly service before God in the appointed order of his division, according to the custom of the priestly office, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were in prayer outside at the hour of the incense offering. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing to the right of the altar of incense. And Zacharias, he was troubled when he saw the angel, and fear gripped him. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your petition has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you'll give him the name John. Now you're going to have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. He'll be great in the sight of the Lord. He'll drink no wine nor liquor, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb. He'll turn many to the sons of Israel back to the Lord their God. And it is he who will go as forerunner before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children and the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous, so as to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. First headliner. Barren godly couple declared righteous by the living God. Second, God breaks his silence after 400 years. God breaks his silence after 400 years. Do you understand how long 400 years are? I mean, what was the date 400 years ago? It's not a trick question. 19 years past the 1500s. That's 400 years ago. Can you imagine? Can you imagine for 400 years that God was silent? That after the prophets and after Malachi or the last one, whatever that was, I mean, it goes silent. And the world, I'm telling you, the world becomes lost. It's thrust into darkness. And when Jesus comes, listen, it's desperate times under the hand of Rome. People are lost. They're in bondage and they're waiting. And the Jews are waiting and waiting for Messiah. They're waiting for a word. And there's just 400 years of silence, no prophetic voice, no prophetic word, 400 years. Now you think about our country, 243 years old. 243 years. And can you imagine this great God being silent to you and to me for 243 years? God breaks the silence. And it's a powerful thought. I mean, what's interesting, when you go to Malachi chapter 3, and if you will hold your place in Luke and go to Malachi, and that's really easy to find because it's the last book of the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. And this is what he says, Malachi 3, verse 1. Behold, I'm going to send my messenger, and he will clear the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. And the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he's coming, says the Lord of hosts. And then go to Malachi chapter 4, verse 5. He says, and let's just begin in 4. Remember the law of Moses, my servant, even the statutes and ordinances which I commanded him in Horeb for all Israel. Behold, I'm going to send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. And this prophet, this one, is going to come and restore the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, so that I'll not come and smite the land with a curse. The end for a while. And 400 years pass, and an angel of the Lord appears in the temple to a godly couple, righteous by faith. And out of all the priests, I think we said last week, 18,000 priests in Israel at this time. And all the priests, God comes to this one couple, barren couple, without child. Advanced in years, way, way past the time for a woman to have the ability to have a child. So her womb has been closed, and now she's past childbearing years, and all of a sudden, here comes a word. And when you think about the last word about God sending Elijah, well, all of a sudden, it's the first word. It's the first word after 400 years. And you think about just the awesome understanding of this and the thoughts of this is that here's this God who spoke of Elijah coming, and then 400 years later, he's in a temple, or the angel is in the temple where this priest is burning incense. It's not the Holy of Holies, by the way. And he's burning this incense, and all of a sudden, God speaks. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever moved through a season where you just didn't think God was speaking to you? Come on. And you were waiting for a word, but he was silent. He was just silent. He wasn't given voice to the trouble in your life. He wasn't giving voice, whatever it was. We talked about that in the prayer earlier. It might have been just a loss of something or someone, or a loss of money, or a loss of job, or a loss of a spouse, or a divorce, or all those things that are so hard in this life that we need God to speak into. But he's silent. Silence. And some of us moved from these places where we went a day, and then we went 2 days, and then we went a week, and then we went a month, and then we went 6 months. Oh, we remained faithful. We continued to pursue, and we continued to read our word, and we continued to cry out. But in that particular area, God was just silent. But then he didn't remain silent, did he? He broke the silence. Because like he did that after 400 years, he'll do that after 2 days for you. He'll do that after 10 days, 6 weeks, 6 months sometimes. I think what I said last week was just, it touched my heart as I was thinking about it. And to be honest with you, I was just thinking about it while I was preaching about it. And I just think about this godly couple, this godly woman who desperately wanted a child. And she prayed for that child. And they asked for that son. I'm sure she's remembered Sarah, barren Sarah. I'm sure she remembered Hannah. And these Old Testament saints, that here she was, knowing what their pain was. And they cry, I know they cried out, and I know they were sometimes desperate for it. But yet now it's gone. Can't have babies anymore. I'm past the age. And you know, I just say this again. What can be so devastating for you sometimes in life, God is still God, and He is still Lord, and He is still on His throne, and He is still Emmanuel, and He is still Jesus, and He is still Yahweh, the great I Am. He is still that, amen? He is still that. But yet, even in her old age, and where the answers did not come, where the silence was still there, the voice wasn't given to her predicament, the voice wasn't given. Matter of fact, she didn't think the voice would come, but yet God would still say, they're mine, they're believers, and they are righteous, in spite of the disappointments, despite of the heartache, despite the unanswered prayer. And I want to tell you, I just want to say, I want to be a man like that. I want to be a man like that woman and her husband. I want to be the man that, even though it's not working out the way I think it ought to work out, and that I'm struggling in this moment, and this moment becomes a week, and it becomes 6 months, and sometimes a year. Listen, I want to remain strong in my faith to believe the promises of God. Because when I believe the promises of God, when I was 8 years old, not understanding everything, and I put my faith in the promise of God, God declared me righteous. He's still doing this in their old age. Righteous. And God breaks the silence, and it's a headline. God breaks the silence after 400 years. And what I want to tell you this today, and I want to say, I believe with all my heart, I know that some of you right now are struggling with the silence in an area or two, and God's not speaking, and God's not giving voice to it. And I want to tell you, God will break His silence where He's been silent to you. He will break it. He will come with the word. He will come with the remedy. He will come with the answer. He will come with the understanding. God breaks the silence. He's done it before. He'll do it again. And I want to ask you today, first of all, have you been declared righteous by faith in God, that you've put your faith and your trust in what the word says about who you are, who Jesus is, and what Jesus did 2,000 years ago, and what Jesus promises to do in your life forever? Have you put your trust and faith in that, where God has declared you righteous? And the second thing is that, will you believe with me today that wherever God has been silent, He will break the silence? I think sometimes I just got to get to this place where I'm crying out for it, and I'm waiting, and I'm keeping on entering His presence while God is silent in that area too. Because I want to tell you this, if you'll look back and step back, He might have been silent in that area, but He wasn't silent in the others. Amen. When I look back, He wasn't silent to me in these other areas. He was just silent in this area. But I want to tell you, this is the great God who breaks the silence. Let me tell you, are you waiting for a word? Are you waiting for God to speak where God's not been speaking? Or it doesn't seem like He's been speaking. Or it doesn't seem like He's been there. Oh yeah, He's in this area of my life, and He's over here, and He's spoken into this place and this. But this one is really big to me. It's really, really a struggle for me. And I want to tell you, this God will break the silence. He did it after 400 years. He's done it in your life and my life. And it brings such great pleasure, and it brings such great joy to hear the voice and the word of God. God will break His silence where He has been silent to you. Listen to me. Listen to me. If you're in a place right now where God seems silent and not there, will you write that down? Will you place it in your phone or whatever, however you do it? Will you underline it? Will you just whatever to believe that God will break your silence? It may not be like you want it to be, but He'll break the silence. He will break the silence. I want you to notice something about a third headline here today. Barren, godly couple declared righteous by the living God, and then God breaks His silence after 400 years. The third one is God hears and answers a long-forgotten prayer. Think about that with me. It's something that we won't spend much time on, but one of the first things that he says to Zacharias, he says, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your petition has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will give him the name John." Something in my mind has not been prayed for in a long, long time. But then all of a sudden, God comes. He breaks the silence. He breaks the silence for Israel and for the nations. But all of a sudden, he breaks the silence for this godly old couple. Your petition has been heard. Scratch head. What petition is that? Oh, the one that you prayed for a son so many years ago. He's coming, Zacharias. He's coming. The prayer has been answered. The spoken thing that you spoke, the things that you struggled with in the quietness of your bedroom or your kitchen or your den or wherever that was, and you cried out to God for it, and then the days slipped past you and they went far, far away. You were far, far from that now, but all of a sudden God comes along and says, prayer's answered. What a headline. God answers, hears, and answers long-forgotten prayers. I don't know about you, but have you seen that? Yes, you have. And you prayed for it, and you asked God to do it. You asked God to save that son. You asked God to save that daughter, that grandson, that granddaughter. You asked God to save that father, that daddy, that mama. You asked God to do these things. You asked God to give you direction. And I'm going to tell you this, I just believe this with all my heart, because I know that sometimes I wake up at 60 years old and so I woke up in my 50s and I realized that things were happening in my life that I prayed as a child, as a teenager, as a 21-year-old, 22-year-old. And God's doing it just like I asked. To the T? No, usually not to the T, but sometimes pretty close. This is God. You know, I think about this whole thought of God's impeccable timetable. His timing is impeccable. If you were in Sunday school, if your kids were in Sunday school last week, there was a story told of a silversmith in the 1800s. He was an apprentice. Don't know his name, but he was an apprentice, and he was working for this silversmith to become a silversmith, and he stole from this guy. He stole silver, and he became a thief. And parents were devastated. Parents were believers. They were Christians. They were, and they prayed for this son, and they prayed for this son, and he got deeper and deeper into trouble, and he ran with a gang who loved to go steal silver. And the story is told of this family just absolutely, totally just praying and asking God for a miracle. And then one Sunday evening, instead of going to church, they stayed and they prayed the whole evening, or during the evening, for this son. And stories told that he was with this gang and they were on their way. They were in London and they were on their way to steal silver. And at the moment, they were passing the great preacher, Charles Spurgeon's church. And one of the friends said to him, "Hey, go in there and see what time it is." Isn't that something? Clocks, everybody knew there was a clock in church, right? Everybody watched the clock. Even back then. So he goes in, this son goes in while his parents are praying, and actually while others are praying. And he walks in to look at the top, and looks at the clock, and at that moment, Charles Spurgeon is preaching about the thief on the cross. And as this son, this son that walks, this rebellious, thieving son walks in, he makes the statement, and if any one of you in here are thieves, God can change your life. The story is told that he walked under conviction. He walked out, and then he left that gang, and he went to his family, and in that evening gave his heart and his life to Jesus. The impeccable timing, the sovereign timing of God is an awesome thing to think of. Because when you look back, that's what you see. You see the impeccable timing of God. You just see it. And even though it's hard, and even though it's difficult, and even though it seems long sometimes, when it's over and it's answered, it's just like, well, I can't say it's just like a woman who's had childbirth, but the scripture says it, so I guess I can say it because I've never experienced it. But once it's over and the baby's there, that's forgotten. His timing's impeccable, and if you're waiting for God to speak the silence and answer a prayer somehow, some way that's been long forgotten, maybe God will stir it up so that you're praying it again and you're asking God to do this thing that you prayed for and haven't gotten the answer to, or you haven't seen the answer the way you think the answer ought to be. And yet you walk through it, and even through the disappointment, and even through the hurt, and even through the grief, you still believe in this great God whose timing is impeccable. Are you hearing me today? I hope you're tracking with me, because I'm hoping that there's at least something in these headlines that speaks to you, that reminds you of how God's timing's been impeccable. It reminds you of the answered prayers that you'd prayed for so long. And oh yeah, that's what he did, and that's what he's doing today. Sometimes, listen, we say things and we ask God for things, and then one day we wake up and we realize we said that, or we asked that, and God did that. And we rejoice. And God reminds us. And he'll remind you again. His timing is impeccable. Look at the fourth one. A godly couple promised and given a godly son in their old age. I want you to notice in verse 14, here comes the request, the petition. This is the petition. This is what God's, what they've asked God to do, to give him a son. And all of a sudden, what we find out is this son is special. He's so special that the last time God talked about it was 400 years before. This is his last word, the Old Testament. And this is the son. And he's going to give him this son. They're going to give him this son. And notice what it says. It says, you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. He'll be great in the sight of the Lord. He'll drink no wine or liquor. And he'll be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb. And he'll turn many of the sons of Israel back to the Lord their God. And it is he who goes as a forerunner before him in the spirit of power of Elijah. And watch, he quotes the word. He quotes Malachi to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children and the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous so as to make people ready, a people prepared for the Lord. The promise is specific. The promise is, I'm just telling you, for any parent is awesome, right? And isn't it awesome for a parent to say, oh, he's going to bring us great joy and gladness, not pain and suffering. Because I know a lot of us, and some of us in this place, we've had sons and we've had daughters that some season in life has brought us pain and suffering. It's brought us heartache. Oh, but this couple, he gets this promise, specific promise. The promise is the son's going to come, and he's the fulfillment of Elijah. He's actually Elijah, well, not literally, but he is the fulfillment of Elijah coming and preparing the way for Messiah. He's going to be great in the sight of God. Hey, parents, if you're not praying for your sons and daughters, or you don't know how to pray, pray this. Pray that God would do this in your 35-year-old, your 40-year-old, your 65-year-old. Ask God to do this in your grandson, your granddaughters. Ask God, oh God, well, I just pray that our children bring joy and gladness. I pray they'd be great in your sight. Notice the next thing. He'll be filled and controlled by the Holy Spirit. Watch, even while in his mama's womb. He in the womb. will be filled and controlled by the Holy Spirit. I like what he says, he'll drink no liquor or no wine. You know what that means to me? He will never, ever be 1 ounce, one iota controlled by any other substance in this world but the substance of God. That's an awesome thing. He will be controlled not by anything of this world. He will not be controlled by food. He will not be controlled by liquor. He'll not be controlled by wine. He will not be controlled by these things. He'll be controlled by the Holy Spirit, the living God. It's a great promise. Hey, why don't we pray that for our kids? Our sons and our daughters. Oh God, I pray that nothing in this life would influence them, but the Holy Spirit of the living God. Notice the next thing. His ministry is going to have great impact. He's going to turn hearts to the fathers, the children of the father's children. Do you know this is a good news thing? This is a good news thing. Because listen, I'm going to tell you, and I've said this before, but I'll say it again because I think it's really, really important. I'll just give you this quick illustration. You know, for 18 years, I got to go into prison, preach every second Wednesday. 18 years. I couldn't believe it when I said, hey, I've been there 18 years. I no longer have the opportunity. The door's closed for me to go in. And I was told a story, and the story was something like this. It didn't happen in this prison down in Gatesville. It happened in another one. But when Mother's Day came, someone said, hey, we want to give all the offenders a Mother's Day card so I don't have to buy one. And you know, they ran out. All those guys ran to get a Mother's Day card. And they thought, we'll do this for Father's Day. And I got ready for Father's Day. And they said maybe 20 guys got Father's Day cards. 20, 25. And I think about this, the hearts of the fathers to the children, the children of the hearts to the fathers. And we think, why not the mothers? Because I'm going to tell you, most of us have never lost the heart of a father, right? Or our mothers, our hearts. Is that right? Am I right here? It's true. And I think about those men. I'd come in month after month after month, seeing these father wounds. Of dad not being there. Of dad being in and out. Of dad being a drunkard, thief. Oh, there were some that were great dads, don't get me wrong. But for the most part, dad was absent. And their heart is far from their daddy. And here's good news of a gospel. Listen to me. It could be another prayer. Oh God, would you come and restore the hearts of our father to our sons and our sons to their daddy. You may be here today as a man, husband, and your kids are far apart, but I want to tell you, this is the gospel of Jesus, where the hearts of the fathers are turned to the sons and the sons and daughters are turned to their daddies. It's a powerful thing. It means the gospel is not just for the individual, it's for the community, it's for the family. It's for the group. And I think that he's coming to do this. And he says, listen, his ministry is going to have a great impact. And he's the one, Zacharias, that's going to go before the Lord. His life will point to Jesus. And I tell you this thing because I believe with all my heart, this is an amazing prayer. It's out of this world. Prayer. This is this impossibility. Give us a son. And God says, I'll give you a son, but it'll be in your old age. And it'll be something that'll be so fantastic and something so extraordinary because my timing's impeccable. Many will rejoice and many will see who this great God is. This is the promise. This is the son. And I want to say this because I believe this with all my heart. You know, John's life is our life. John's ministry is our ministry. I love what Jesus said. He said, you know, yeah, John was pretty great, but listen, from here on out, he's the least in the kingdom. I can't tell you what I really think about that. I can't really tell you, and I don't think you can either. But there's just something about the greatness of God in our lives. And if he was great in John the Baptist, how great can he be in your life? And this is simple. This is not difficult. This is just a simple thing. It's just this thought that, oh God, I want to be like this man, John the Baptist, who points the way of Jesus. I point it with my mouth, and I point it with my life, and I point it with our ways, and we point it as living this marriage out, and this fatherhood, and this children, raising our kids out. Lord, we want to point to Jesus, and that's what he did. He's the one, not me. He's the Messiah. I'm unworthy to even bend down, he says, to even untie his sandal loops. I'm here just to point to him. He's the one. He's the one in my life. He's the one who sets free. He's the one who saves. He's the one who delivers. He's the one. He's the one who breaks the silence in my life. He's the one who answers prayer. He's the one. He's the one who empowers me to speak what I need to speak and do what I need to do in this life. He's the one who calls me. He's the one who comes to me and births faith in me, the very faith that I need. He's the one. He's the one. Headlines. Headlines. Today's believer is the one who points to Jesus, who points. And we have this great opportunity to do that. We have this great opportunity this year to see the word go forth. But I want you to see the fifth headline. And this is it. It's a Christmas promise met with doubt, resulting in difficulty. You know, God, through this angel, says to Zacharias all these great things. And Zacharias says to the angel, how will I know this? How will I know it? Because I'm an old man and my wife is advanced in years. I think about that. I think about an honest question. I mean, didn't Abraham look at his body as good as dead? I mean, it took about 13 years of Abraham wandering before Abraham really believed that God was going to do this. I'm an old man. My wife's womb has always been closed, so she's old. And it's Zechariah saying this, the believer in God. Your wife's going to have a baby, and this is who he'll be. And yet doubt fills his heart. I think about that in my own life and the things that God, I believe, has promised and the things that I'll walk in fear, worry, and anxiety and I see it accomplished. He doubts. And he doubts because he's got his eyes on the natural, the temporal. And notice what Jesus, what the angel says. He says, I'm Gabriel. I'm the one who stands in the presence of God. I've been sent to speak to you and bring you this good news. And now you're going to be silent. You talk about 400 years of silence from God. Now you're going to be silent, priest. You're going to be a silent priest. I'm taking the controller and I'm pressing mute until the day all these things happen. You're not going to be able to speak. You're not going to be able to share. You're not going to be able to do what you do for 9 months. You'll be silent, unable to speak until the day when these things take place because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their proper time. And the people are waiting. Listen, they're waiting for him to come out. And he comes out and he can't say anything. He can't speak. And for 9 months, he'll have to do sign language and write on a tablet. You know, I've been preaching since I was 17 years old. One day I got hoarse and could not speak. And I'm just really glad it was a Monday. But I started panicking about Wednesday. And you know how you do. Is this permanent? All of a sudden I heard about this, I remember this story of this pastor who was pastor at First Baptist Church of Brenham, and he went silent. He could not speak. And he had to resign what he always did, what God called him to do. And I thought about that guy. And I began entertaining thoughts. And then the next day, my voice started coming back. And by Sunday, I could preach. Hoarsely, but I could preach. And it's amazing to me how the doubt will come and the doubt will stay. But he doubts. And God's not too happy with that. He says, listen, I've come to tell you this good news. You know, I think when I look at Jesus' word, when he says in Luke chapter 18, verse 27, the things that are impossible with man is possible with God. And you know, here's this whole heritage of this priest, of men and women who've gone before them and who have had sons in their barrenness in their old age. And yet, the father of them all, Father Abraham, and yet at this particular point, he just could not believe it. But verse 24 says this, after these days, Elizabeth, his wife, became pregnant, and she kept herself in seclusion for 5 months, saying, this is the way the Lord has dealt with me in these days, when he's looked with favor upon me to take away my disgrace among men. And think about this promise. I think a sixth headline, and we'll close with this. We won't talk much of it, but God will fulfill his word regardless of man's doubt. Amen. 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 You know, as you hear things, stories like, and you're told things like, well, it's just because you didn't have faith to believe. You didn't have enough faith. Let me ask, tell you this. If you ever said that, don't say that again. Don't ever, ever say that again. Because our great God will do what he wants to do even when you doubt. Amen? Listen, when you hear this today, there's a lot of things going on. Name it, claim it, right? Gab it, blab it, grab it. You just didn't have enough faith to get healed. You just didn't have enough faith to see it happen. I'm going to tell you, God meets you in your doubt. And what I love about this story is that God says, listen, this is ordained by me, and I'm going to do this thing whether you believe it or not. But guess what? You're going to believe it in a few minutes. When you can't talk. Maybe he used to stutter like Moses, but you're not even going to be able to stutter. And you're going to know and you're going to believe that I've been sent by God. And this will be a sign to you. You know what? The very sign of where he doubted and where that difficulty came, it became the very thing that birthed his faith again. Amen? What a headline. God fulfills his word regardless of man's doubt. If God says it, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. No, God said it, that settles it. God said it, that settles it. We're going to talk a little bit more about this great faith of Mary next week and how God accomplished things in her life because she believed. Now, I was going to tell you this. She could have had the same response Zacharias had, and she would have still had that baby. God said it, that settles it. I want you to bow with me in prayer. What has God said? From his word. And then how God illumined you with that word, gave you a word, and it just isn't working out the way you thought it should work out. And God's just silent. I want to encourage you today and tell you that God is a God who will, in his time, break the silence. And I just pray for you right now, if you're waiting for word, that that'll happen in the next 24 hours. That's what I pray. That's what I ask. I would hope that that's what God would do for you. And if it does, text me. Let me know. Text somebody. This happened. I've been waiting for it to happen. God's been silent in it, but it's happened. Thank you for praying. Matter of fact, I'm going to pray for that. I'm not closed yet, but I'm going to pray for that right now. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I want to ask that for every person. Yeah, I see a hand. If you want to raise your hand for this one, raise your hand. Lord, I want to ask that over the next 24 hours, that Father, that you would break through somehow, some way. And even if it's not finished, it's just this glimmer, this hope. I see the light of it. And I'm asking in Jesus' name, Lord, that you would do this work in every single person who has their hand up right now, asking God to do a work, asking God to move, asking God to break the silence, to answer the prayer. And God, I want to ask that you'd birth within our body this faith that believes, God, that believes that you are able to do and perform what you say you will do. And I want to praise you for this today, God. And I want to ask that right now you'd fill these folks with the Spirit of the living God with their hands. And I just ask, God, that they would sense it and know it and believe that you're touching them right now, right here. And that, Father, that God, that you've changed the attitudes of everyone in this room today, everyone with their hand. Because, Lord, we can have some very bad attitudes about things and very bad thoughts about things. I want to ask, God, that right now, that, Father, now, right now, not 24 hours from now, but right now, that God, that you'd change attitude. Because that's what he said John would do. Attitude of the righteous. And I want to pray this in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Next week's message is one of my favorites. Because God promises and God delivers. And when he delivered, what he promised Mary, he delivered. And it was an utter impossibility, just like this one. Just like this old, it's an utter impossibility. And you know, I want to just say this, let you know, but a couple of things. I got to say this. I've asked our staff on Wednesday, and I've asked our elders this morning to pray prayers and ask God to do things that from our perspective is impossible. But from God, it's possible. And you got some situations in your life right now that as you look at from man's perspective, it is utter impossible. Is that right? And I want to ask that you begin praying that God would come and meet that need. God would come, answer, and do what you think is impossible, that I would think is impossible. You might tell me and say, oh, that's impossible. But we have a God that makes all things possible. And I pray that you would begin asking God to do things that are seemingly impossible from man's perspective. And list those and write those down in your journal. And begin to ask God. And you know, it may be just like this couple. It may be years from now. But hey, if you're old, you know years from now will come in a blink. They do. But this God's a faithful God. He does what he says he's going to do. Amen. Amen. Well, let's stand together, okay? It's good to have the Colons with us today. Greg lost your dad on Thanksgiving Day. I know that's been really tough. They're having a service at his mom's house at 2:30. And so just really been praying for you, brother, and asking God's grace on you during this time, and your family and your mom and brother and his family. And I just know God's grace has been sufficient. You know, nod your head. Amen. Amen. Hey, let's do a blessing. This is twofold. When Maddie came into my office and said, you know the blessing you used to pray on us? I thought, oh, I want to start praying that again. So I got a twofold. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you, lift up his countenance towards you, and give you peace right now, right here. And whenever right now, right now, right here is. And may our God do abundantly, exceedingly beyond all that you think, ask, pray according to the power of God. And some of you who had your hands raised, may God do abundantly, exceedingly beyond what we ask today. In the name of Jesus, amen. Faces of Christmas, don't forget.